Yeah, straight into the newspapers. Dipti is joining us for that. Lots of reactions in the South African press today, of course, after President Cyril Ramaphosa's meeting with Donald Trump in the White House, Dipti.
Yeah, that's right, Stuart. The Mail and Guardian, a South African daily, offers a sort of blow-by-blow account of how that meeting was conducted. It started off cordial enough. Ramaphosa even brought along two South African golf stars as a nod to Donald Trump's love for the sport. But things veered off course, the paper reports, after a journalist asked Donald Trump what it would take to see that there isn't a genocide in South Africa, to which Ramaphosa said it would take listening to South Africans. And right on cue, Donald Trump then said, I've got a video to show you. He showed him this video that he claims is proof of calls for a white genocide in South Africa, clips of South African politician Julius Malema chanting an anti-farmer song. The video, Donald Trump reported, also showed the burial sites of 1,000 white farmers. In reality, though, it was actually images of a memorial procession from September 2020 that had nothing to do with what Donald Trump was talking about.
What are the reactions then, Dipti, from the South African front pages?
Well, what you have is one word that really stands out, and it's here, ambushed, as the Daily News says. This is how many of the South African papers feel about Donald Trump's treatment of Ramaphosa. This is from the Sowetan, again, using that word ambush, but it says that a calm Cyril survived Donald Trump's ambush, and the paper rather applauding the way the South African leader was able to, quote, stage a pushback against the lies of a white genocide in South Africa. And this paper here, The Herald, also focusing on this, saying that Donald Trump really blindsided Ramaphosa with that clip of Malema singing. Now, in its opinion pages, the paper has printed a very strong letter from a reader to the editor of the paper. It's just at the bottom here, this article entitled Post-Apartheid Policies Cannot Be Considered Genocide. And in this article, a reader writes to the editor that using the word genocide when, I quote, equity is pursued is a gross misrepresentation and betrayal of the truth. The reader adding, Trump does not know our story nor our sacrifices. And finally, in the New York Times, this analysis from The Times, which sees Donald Trump as casting himself as a protector of the persecuted white people. The Times saying he really dressed down the South African leader by alluding to this fringe conspiracy theory.
And we're going to stay, in fact, with the New York Times. It reports that Brazil is trying to dismantle a network of Russian spies in the country.
Yeah, trying to and has been successful in doing so. This is a really fascinating article from the New York Times today. It's an investigative piece called The Spy Factory, and it looks at how Russia's intelligence services turned Brazil into what the Times calls an assembly line for deep cover operatives and how Brazil has been quietly dismantling it. So it explains that the goal of this so-called spy factory was not to spy on Brazil, but for Russian spies to essentially become Brazilian with Brazilian passports and birth certificates and Brazilian backstories. And the country, Russia, then using Brazil as a launch pad for its spies to operate around the world. Now, Brazil's painstaking investigative work into this network began right after the war in Ukraine. It saw authorities dismantling the network piece by piece and delivering a devastating blow to Russia, to Vladimir Putin's spy program. The Times takes us through Operation East, as it was called. It was led by the same counterintelligence agents who brought down former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro and involved them combing through millions of Brazilian identity records, really looking for a link, a pattern, if you like. And it actually started in 2022 when they arrested this man called Victor Muller Ferreira, a.k.a. Sergei Cherkasov. They discovered that his real birth certificate cited a deceased Brazilian woman as his mother. But when they dug a little deeper, they discovered this woman did not have any children. So it started set off these alarm bells that eventually led to the dismantling of this so-called network of ghosts. So it kind of reads like a spy movie, actually.
It does, doesn't it? I'm sure there will be one as well. It's a fascinating story. It's another fascinating story as well in the Northern Irish press that Dipti's found for us today. This is the arrest of a rapper who's charged with a terror offence.
Yeah, it's called it's in the Belfast Telegraph today here. The member, a member of NICAP, an Irish rap group, has been arrested with a terror offence. His name is Mo Hara. He's the rapper of this Irish language rap group. Now, the offence actually dates back to November last year when the group displayed a flag in support of Hezbollah during a concert. Videos also emerged of the band allegedly calling for the deaths of MPs and shouting, I quote, up Hamas, up Hezbollah. They later denied that they were supporting these groups and apologized, but Mo Hara has now been charged with a terror offense. And the reason being, as the Belfast Telegraph explains, is that in the UK, Hezbollah and Hamas are declared terrorist organizations, which means that it's illegal to express support for them. Now, this Irish website here, Breaking News, actually explains that this group is quite controversial, known for their politically charged lyrics and activities. It's not their first run-in with the law. Last month at Coachella, they ended a set with three messages on a big screen accusing Israel of genocide and crimes against humanity. They also commissioned a mural in Belfast of a burning Land Rover, a vehicle used for policing in Northern Ireland, which some say glorified terrorism.
And finally from Dipti. Dipti's given me a link for this next story. I'm not quite sure how all these words go into the same sentence, but I'll just read it and she'll tell us. Taiwan has a new rock star envoy to Finland.
Yeah, and literally a rock star. We're not just talking about, you know, a metaphorical rock star. He is actually a rock star. If you're a heavy metal fan, then you'll know this this person. His name is Freddie Lim, and he is the founder and lead singer of Chitonic, a Taiwanese heavy metal band that's known as the Black Sabbath of Asia. And he's now been named envoy to Finland. His nomination totally apt because his band is very well known in Finland. It has recorded four albums with a Finnish label as well. I'm sure that's not the only reason he was nominated. He also played a pretty important role in making same-sex marriage legal in Taiwan, which is the first country to do so in Asia. Anyway, it's quite rare, but his appointment is making headlines in the heavy metal media. Stuart, this is Metal Injection, a Brooklyn-based metal music website, which notes that his nomination also is very apt because Finland has the most metal bands per capita, 80 for every 100,000 people. So where better to name a heavy metal rock star envoy than in Finland?
Are you sure that page isn't AI? I mean, look at the bottom half of it and then look at Metal Injunction in the top left. It really doesn't kind of go together, does it?
Hey, I don't make the news, do I?
No, she doesn't make it up either.
No, absolutely not.
Dipti, thanks a lot. Dipti, with the presserio on France 24. A lot more coming.